Not running your business on NetSuite is like trying to sink a putt with a cap pulled over your eyes. NetSuite by Oracle gives you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, budgeting, and more, all in one place. NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/wallstreet.
This is your tech news briefing for Monday, January 23rd. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. The crackdown looks like it's winding up. Chinese authorities have signaled they're finishing investigations into the country's biggest tech companies. But after 2 years of probes and new restrictions, what does China's tech market look like now? And is it the result Beijing was hoping for? On today's show, WSJ Asia Tech reporter Lisa Lin joins us to explain China's tech landscape and its future. That's after these headlines. Another big tech company has announced major layoffs. Google parent Alphabet plans to eliminate roughly 12,000 jobs, 6% of its staff. The cuts will be across locations and units, including recruiting and projects outside of Alphabet's core businesses, the company said. In a message to employees last Friday, CEO Sundar Pichai said the company had, quote, hired for a different economic reality than the one the company is facing now. The cuts are only a small percentage of the number of staff Alphabet has hired over the last 2 years, but our reporter Miles Krupa, who covers the company, says it could have an outsized impact on workplace culture.
You know, Google's sort of famous for having this really warm, open, loose, collegial culture full of perks. And they really sort of set the tone for how the industry approached managing their workplaces and trying to create a really attractive environment for people to work. So I think with these cuts, it'll be interesting to see how the workers react and whether that sort of collegial, happy-go-lucky environment is affected in any way. And I'm sure that's something that was on the mind of Google execs as they were making these cuts.
You can hear more from Miles on Friday's PM edition of our sister podcast, What's News? Elon Musk took the stand on Friday in San Francisco in a trial over whether his tweets about the future of Tesla caused investor losses. As you may remember, Musk posted in August 2018 that he was considering taking the EV maker private for $420 a share and that he had, quote, secured funding. The messages led to wide swings in Tesla's stock price. WSJ's Tesla reporter Rebecca Elliott has been covering the trial and joins me now to discuss it. Hi, Rebecca.
Hi, Zoe. Thanks so much for having me.
So, Rebecca, Musk took the stand on Friday. You were there. What did he say in his testimony?
In that testimony, he touched on a few ideas that may prove to be pretty central to the case. One, the relationship between what he says on Twitter and how the market reacts, how the market perceives it. And two, the extent to which, you know, one can fully communicate a situation on Twitter, where there is, of course, a limit on the number of characters you can include in any given tweet.
So he'll be back on the stand today. What do we expect to hear in the second part of his testimony?
One of the interesting pieces in this case is the judge has actually already decided a few key elements. One of them is that a couple of Musk's statements, namely that funding was secured and that investor support was confirmed, were untrue. And so the jurors are being asked to decide questions like, did Musk know at the time that these statements were untrue? Were they different enough from the reality of the situation to be significant to investors? And so I expect Musk's testimony to cut pretty quickly to topics that get at those issues. You know, his frame of mind at the time that he sent the tweets, the nature of the discussions that he'd had prior to that date about potentially taking Tesla private, things like that.
All right, that's our reporter, Rebecca Elliott. Thanks for joining us, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me.
Activist investor Elliott Management has made a multi-billion dollar investment in Salesforce, according to people familiar with the matter. Elliott didn't disclose its intentions for investing in the software maker, but it's known for taking board seats and pushing for changes that can include sales and executive shakeups. And as we previewed last week, crypto lender Genesis has filed for bankruptcy, along with two of its lending subsidiaries. Several of Genesis's other businesses, including derivatives and spot trading subsidiaries, aren't included in the filing and continue to operate, the company says. It's the latest domino to fall as the crypto market continues to struggle. All right, coming up, China is winding up its crackdown on tech. Did Beijing achieve what it hoped? We'll discuss after the break.
Not running your business on NetSuite is like trying to sink a putt with a cap pulled over your eyes. NetSuite by Oracle is the number one cloud financial system, giving you visibility and control of your financials, inventory, budgeting, and more, all in one place. 93% of surveyed businesses increase their visibility and control after upgrading to NetSuite. Over 32,000 businesses already use NetSuite. For the new year, NetSuite has a new financing program for those ready to upgrade at netsuite.com/wallstreet.
For 2 years, China has been cracking down on the power of its biggest tech companies. This has spanned sectors: e-commerce, gaming, ride-hailing. But now, officials are signaling their investigations and regulatory demands may be coming to an end. So, what has this multi-year crackdown done to China's tech industry? And how different will the environment be going forward? With me to go through this is our Asia Tech reporter, Lisa Lin. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me, Zoe.
These investigations and crackdowns have been running for some time. Can you give us an update? Where exactly do they stand now?
Yeah, so Zoe, there's been a few developments in China over the last month that have led investors to kind of speculate that this long 24-month crackdown is finally abated. Because if you recall, more than 2 years ago, the crackdown really began when the authorities pulled the IPO of Ant Group, which is a financial payments affiliate of Alibaba and controlled by Jack Ma, a really iconic tech founder. So since then, we've seen companies large and small get hit by fines for various infractions such as data security or monopolistic business practices. And overall, the industry crackdown resulted in like plunging share prices of these previously really high-flying and popular Chinese tech companies. So what happened over the last month that gave investors pause and people confidence is three things. Last Monday, when authorities kind of indicated that a probe into a large internet ride-hailing company called Didi was coming to an end. And Didi, if people don't remember, and I can refresh your memory, they had user registrations pulled in about 18 months ago when they tried to launch a huge IPO in the US. And at that point, Didi was pointed out to have flouted data security requirements. So that was a very big one. And a week before the Didi announcement, we also had officials with the central bank announcing that the investigations into Ant Group, which is the mobile payment affiliate of Alibaba, had come to an end. And that Ant had essentially rectified everything authorities had found to be wrong and was ready to get the licenses it needed to operate again. And just, you know, subsequent to this as well, we also saw some silver lining on the video gaming front when China began to approve the release of new video games after it stopped approving video game releases in June 2021. So it's a combination of all these things that have made people just a lot more optimistic.
You mentioned some of the investigations that seem to be wrapping up. And of course, this spans, you know, different sectors within tech. But can you remind us, I mean, how much power did China's tech sector have before this all began?
Sure. If you go back to more than 2 years ago, 3 years ago, it seemed like the largest Chinese internet companies such as Alibaba and Tencent had their finger wrapped around every sort of industry possible that you could digitize. And really, I think that was the reason why Chinese authorities began this crackdown in the first place. So now since then, you've seen Tencent unwind a lot of investments in businesses that are really very peripheral or not core to its operations. So they've unwinded stakes in e-commerce companies, for example, and Tencent is a video gaming and social media giant.
Have authorities in China said anything specifically about this pullback?
With China, it's always very difficult to ascertain when exactly like the end of a crackdown would be. But most of the statements that have come out over the last couple of weeks have been very optimistic. Beyond the statements by the central bank saying that the Ant Group investigation is over, you've also seen the local government in Hangzhou, where Alibaba is based, come out to praise Alibaba for years of actually adding to the economy, and they recently signed a strategic cooperation with the company again. All these are just indications that the chill around tech companies and doing business with tech companies is gradually thawing.
Does it seem then like Chinese officials feel like they've accomplished what they wanted to?
I think in several areas, they've definitely got what they wanted. They've broken up the large monopolies that have existed in the internet space, and they've also broken up the power structures that were behind these monopolies. So just before the Ant Group investigation ended, you saw Jack Ma giving up a controlling stake in Ant Group. That's probably one of the signs that tech founders now don't have the same sort of power and influence they had over their large empires as they did 3 years ago, for example. And it isn't just Jack Ma. You've definitely seen other tech founders either give up huge stakes in their companies in the name of charity or simply just sell them off. So you've definitely seen an unwinding the power stakes behind these companies. And when it comes to investment in startups and various tech industries, the Chinese government has definitely accomplished its aim, because you've also seen a flowering of startups in areas such as chips, enterprise software, biotech, all areas that the Chinese government had already wanted to divert investment to, but was unable to because the internet consumer space had taken up so much of that venture capital money. And I guess I would point out that even if the tech crackdown on the surface seems to be winding down, it doesn't mean that the new normal is that companies are going to be free of regulation or oversight. Even as the crackdown was winding down, we've also seen more cases of the Chinese internet watchdog take these small but very symbolic stakes in internet and broadcast companies, which essentially give them a seat on the board and gives them influence over the type of content strategies that these private companies have.
It sounds like they've accomplished what they wanted, but Lisa, at what cost did it take to get there?
Yes, and that's a great question, Zoe, because ever since the tech clampdown has started, we've seen large layoffs in Chinese tech companies. And this has come over the last 2 years, when job creation and unemployment numbers among like younger people have already been rising. And last year, in 2022, the country's economy and its growth has already been battered by zero COVID policies. And these internet companies, had they been thriving, would have been able to bolster tech revenues in local government coffers, where they were headquartered, of course, should they not have been clamped down on.
All right, that's our Asia Tech reporter, Lisa Lin. Lisa, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks again, Zoe.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. If you want more tech stories, check out our website, wsj.com. And if you like our show, please rate and review it. You can do that wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Zoe Thomas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
The Wall Street Journal's What's News podcast puts you close to the people breaking the news from around the world.
Over half the population are in acute need of food.
And close to home.
The red-hot housing market is starting to slow down.
Uncovering facts.
These investments call into question some of the federal government's activity.
And diving into markets.
There's a lot of money exiting the stock market, which is like...
Get it all twice a day in less than 15 minutes. Navigate your world with What's News.